People and Places, with your hosts, Brad Banjor, Pete Shapiro, Matt D'Andrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Hey, Matt, what's going on?
Hello.
How's it going, man?
Good. I got my headphone caught on my collar.
Uh-oh. Well, that's because, see, that's what you get for wearing a collared shirt.
I know. There's an event tonight. I'm going to the Motor Press Guild Awards.
MPG.
MPG Awards. Last year, and welcome to Shift
you're
and
Steer. You're going to it last year? Yeah, let's.
Welcome to Shift
yeah,
and Steer.
Yeah, welcome to Shift and Steer. Hey, yeah. we are back in the studio without our trusty cohorts, Pete and Aaron, but they'll be back. Yeah. They haven't gone anywhere. They're just on vacation and up in the snow playing around. And well, they're not both up in the snow, but one's on vacation, one's up in the snow. So you got an event to go to tonight.
Yeah, so I'm going to the Motor Press Guild Awards. Last year, I went for the first time, and we were very fortunate. We won an award for the Paul Newman documentary.
Oh, okay, cool.
And this year, I'm going back, and we're up for an award for our CarCast podcast.
But what was the award?
I guess it's just whatever, like audio category.
Is it like the best automotive podcast or something? Or?
No, you have to submit a certain episode.
And, okay.
we'll see how it goes because I thought there was two very good episodes that we
had. It was the one that I was on, right?
It was not.
Ah, damn. That would have been a shoo-in, dude.
Yeah, I thought so too, but producer Chris shot that down a heartbeat.
Jeez. damn it.
We had two really good episodes that I thought were good conversations. We did an interview with Kyle Petty last year.
Okay.
It was great. And then, you know, we went to the Goodwood Hill Climb in the UK. And we went there. We got an opportunity to interview Keanu Reeves.
Oh, about his motorcycles.
About his motorcycles. And in the almost 7 years at the time of doing that show with Adam Carolla, he's always great, you know, but this was the first time, like the next day. It was kind of a weird – the story is we were there in the UK and Adam was there. We were all in this Airbnb. And we're hanging out, we're watching TV, and Adam and his road manager, this guy Mike, get into this epic conversation about a guy that's hosting a TV show. It's a friend of theirs, and they like the guy, but they got into this whole conversation about what a terrible host he is.
I think Jimmy Kimmel's really good
at
what
he does. It's not Kimmel. It's not Kimmel. and they're like, yeah, I can't believe this guy got this show. You know, we like him, and he's got this controversy up and down, and he just asks awful questions. And
I did a really good job on the BBC thing.
You did?
Yeah. And why is he talking behind my back, man?
And I was like, wow, the pressure's really on because these guys are into this, you know, hour and a half conversation over drinks about how, like, this guy's really missing a huge opportunity. He's got a big show now. You know, it had just started. It was, like, episode 2 or 3.
Okay.
And he was getting big guests right away. And you know, they're going to this thing. They're like, look, if he was John Oliver, you know, he'd be asking the right questions. If he was Stephen Colbert or Jimmy Kimmel, he'd be asking the right questions. But he's not asking anything. He's just asking just like...
Softball?
Just total softball questions. So
I got my press release in this hand, and I've got the guest
so
in
So they're saying
hand.
Like, you know, look, you know, maybe get up his game, whatever. And you know, they get in this hypothetical conversation about like, you know, he should be doing this, and this guy is better, and maybe the show should change format, blah, blah, blah. And then here we are a few hours later, you know, well, you know, the next day... We have to go to Goodwood, and then Adam, you know, bumps into – we told the story. We bump into to Keanu Reeves. He comes down, has lunch with us, and Adam's like, hey, man, we'd love to put you on CarCast. How about we do that, like, you know, in, like, 3 hours from now? And he's like, yeah, okay, let's do it. And I was like, great, grab your partner, Guard, who's his – that's the name of the guy, his partner in the Arch Motorcycles. And he's like, all right, let's do it. So Adam's like, great. He goes over, messes with his car, does a hill climb run, comes back, and he's like, oh, let's go do that interview with Keanu Reeves. And he's like, do you know anything about the motorcycles? I was like, no, but let me go look at it and see what I can make up. And I thought we had a really good interview with them. And then afterward, I talked about the motorcycles and everything. Adam talked about, like, The Matrix or something, like something with Keanu or John Wick 2 or something like that.
Or
it was good. It was fun.
Hey, have you ever been on a bus that doesn't have any brakes so you can't stop?
Yeah, and it was great. But at the end of that, after Adam's epic conversation with this guy, Mike, The next day, Adam goes, by the way, that was a really good interview with Keanu. You did a really good job. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Is there any witnesses? Somebody look around.
Hey, I'm getting a compliment.
Yeah, yeah, that was going to be. So I was like, well, hell, I'm going to submit that to the MPG Awards to see how good of an interview it really was or not. So here we are, a mere hours away, trying to figure out if Adam was just blowing smoke up my ass or was it a decent enough interview to get a piece of
glass. Well, what if Adam has one opinion and they have another?
That's usually the case.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's usually the case with Adam and the rest of the
planet. And how is the Motor Press Guild? Is it other journalists that vote on them or what?
It's definitely a group of old school dudes.
Exactly,
like,
that's right.
It's old school dudes. Like, I don't even know if they know who Keanu Reeves is.
Because when I was at the Hot Wheels thing, it's funny you bring this up, an old school guy came up to me, hey Brad, how you been, man? What's going on? And he's from one of the major automotive magazines, that's to say. And
one of the ones they still chisel on stone.
Yes, exactly. and he said, yeah, I'm up for a MPG award this year. I'm going up against your co-host.
Oh,
and
really?
I go, oh, really? And he goes, yeah, yeah. He goes, so, you know, good luck to him, but I hope I win, you know? And it just made me think, I wonder how they judge, you know, who judges it, how they judge it. And
CarCast was up last year as well.
Okay.
And we didn't win, you know, like Motor Trend or something won, but it's such a formatted type of, you know, by the number, you know, like Moto Week, that show is still on TV. And I don't know why, but that's still on TV. I feel like the producers of that show are the judges at MPG. Not the talk at MPG, but, you know, like our show here and my show with Adam Carolla, like there's these tangents and, you know, Adam's often very funny and sometimes vulgar and very opinionated. But that's the type of show it is. It's a very opinionated show. You know, so we're not going to talk a lot about.
So it's not like Shift and Steer where it's very hard formatted show.
Like all the notes we have in the preparation in advance that we do. No, it's not
all the production behind the scenes, everything.
Yeah, like we're not going to get into like, first of all, you know, every time you read the magazine, not the dog of the magazines, but it's just like as an enthusiast or somebody who's car shopping. Okay. And you pick up the magazine, like you pick up a Motor Trend or a Car and Driver or something like that. Whatever's still being published. And the guy's like, oh, we took this out into the track because, you know, so-and-so flew us out to Germany with Mercedes and
bought us dinner.
And they're like, yeah, and we were driving. It was great. But, you know, and then we noticed a little loose here and a little oversteer there. I was like, what does that even mean? Like, does the average guy know what that means?
The average guy never drives a car in Nürburgring.
I've driven hundreds, if not thousands, of test cars, and I've always just sort of given my opinion because I feel like I'm not qualified to tell you if this thing handles the way it's supposed to handle or not.
I don't know how it's supposed to handle.
All I can do is tell you, like, hey, I liked it. This is kind of why I liked it. Maybe it makes sense. Maybe it doesn't make sense, but this is it. So anyway, we're up for an award.
Good luck.
And we're going up against our show about nothing, basically, is going up against shows that have
It's Jerry Seinfeld versus Walter Cronkite?
It's basically, yeah. It's the Seinfeld of shows going up against, like, the 60 Minutes of shows. And I feel like a lot of the old school judges like, for instance, the Paul Newman film won Best Documentary, but so they give out an MPG award for all these different categories, Best Audio, Best Documentary, Best Video, whatever, Best Written Publication, Photographs, some cool stuff. Yeah, it's very cool stuff. A lot of talented people there, for sure. And then at the end of the night, there's the main award. This is, like, the guy who wins. Like, of everybody who won, this is the big award. So, like, if we won podcast award, that's like getting, you know, best actor, but you really want best picture as well. right. And I forgot the name of the award now. It just slipped my mind because obviously I was thinking about it, but it's the Dean Bachelor
Award.
Yeah. So that's the main award. So here we are. We did a great documentary about Paul Newman. We spent hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars on it, and it won the best documentary. But every category competes for the Dean Bachelor Award. It can be a best photo, written piece, whatever.
It's whatever and, they think is the one best thing that stands out. Yeah.
And the guy that won took is a video where he took
two cats driving a car,
a Polaris slingshot, like that three wheel
right.
car.
Yes.
And he drove it through a car wash.
Okay.
Yeah. And talked a lot.
Yeah.
You know, but
gurgled some.
Basically, I mean, obviously I'm a little biased. We put a lot of time and energy and money and a lot of, you know, a hell of a lot into trying to make a really good documentary. Spent 2 years making it and $500,000 or whatever, something in it. And we got beat by a guy going through a car wash in a slingshot, Polaris slingshot. So I'm not holding my breath for this.
Yeah.
And whatever. I paid some money to go to the event. I'm going to go and I'm going to eat.
Do they have an open bar?
I hope so.
It's probably a non-hosted bar when you get there, and you'll go, I paid $50 to come,
yeah.
And now I got to, you know.
Well, also the
yeah, are you
ceremony.
A member of MPG?
I think so.
You think so? I think you have to be.
Yeah.
Do you pay dues?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Well, because somebody asked me to become a member, and I go, and they go, it's $50 a year or $80 a year or something like that. I go, oh, yeah, I'll think about it. Because I was
I think I'm a member. I'm sure I, gave somebody some money or something. But I get things in the mail all the time to be like, hey,
and you just
some
pay?
Money. I'm like, I don't know.
I'm going to send you a thing that says, hey, become a member of Shifted Steer, $100. And yeah. You'll just write a check.
Yeah, well, the problem is like, once it gets up to that kind of money, I'm not out.
Oh, so
I'm
keep it at $59 and I'm good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like $30.
$49.95.
Like $39 I can go with.
How about $40 and a free Shift and Steer sticker?
All right. Everybody likes stickers.
Exactly. You know?
Yeah.
But if you donate $69, you get a free T-shirt and a sticker.
No, I don't do it.
Okay.
No. The shirts never fit me. I'm too little.
Okay.
The shirts never fit me. Yeah. $39.
Get this double extra large.
Yeah. Yeah. Then it's like a robe. It's like a robe. So anyway, we're going to go up there and it's a very long event.
Uh-huh.
They're like, oh, just come at 6. You'll be wrapped by 11. And
now, is it all journalists or are there car company people there too?
So I think there are some car companies that are there.
I was wondering if they're there schmoozing the journalists.
Yeah,
that
because, we're friends with a lot of the car companies, and last year I sat with the guys at Nissan, and they were great. And guys from Nissan and Edmunds.
Okay.
We were at the same table together. Nissan probably bought the table. We all bought a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
But you know how these events are. They're like, come in, we'll have a little...
Yeah, a little
meet and greet in the beginning.
Cocktails and...
Open bar, have some cocktails.
Yeah.
And then you sit for 5 hours. So I feel like you should go in, have a beer, and then they go, everybody take your seats. Go to the bar and go, give me 5 more beers. Give me 5. Now, that sounds like a lot, but not...
But it's one an hour.
It's like one for every hour and 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be there for like 6 hours.
They go... And the winner is Matt D'Andrea with and Matt stumbles up there.
As I get up, you hear
everybody.
You hear my pyramid of bottles all
exactly.
crash to the ground. They're shattering everywhere. Like, it's okay.
It's okay. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Also, I feel like if you do 5 beers in 6 hours, but you really load up on them, like 5 beers in the first 3, then I got some time.
That's true.
To cool off.
That's true. You could.
The mistake I made last year was the table that we were at was right up front, and I had to pee. And
so you had to get up and
so
walk?
I had to be the guy that was like, you have to time it perfectly. You have to wait for somebody to go, and the winner is so-and-so. And the guy from the back table is going to get up, and he walks to the stage. That's when I get up and leave. Yeah, so basically you have to wait for like somebody to win an award that's in the back of the room. And then as he takes his 90 seconds to get up to the stage, that's when you get up. Because you can shuffle and not like...
And you hear the people go, oh, he must not like him. He's not even staying up there doing his acceptance.
Yeah. But then you have to wait for the next award before you can go sit down again.
Right.
You know?
Otherwise they go, oh, is that the guy?
Yeah,
here he comes right now.
It gets very confusing. So anyway, that's that whole thing. Anyway, speaking of proper journalism and car testing... We talked about this a little bit last
week. Oh, don't put me in that category.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit last week. And why don't you go ahead and read your handwritten evaluation of the Range Rover SVR you've been driving.
Okay. Yeah, because it's pretty explicit.
Basically, the Brad has a piece of paper that says Range Rover
SVR. Range Rover Sport Supercharged SVR.
Yeah.
It's pretty fucking incredible. That's my handwritten notes.
What's your feeling on the super SUVs? Like, the, you know, we had sports cars, obviously, and then the super sedan market, which I love, mm-hmm. BMW M5. I can't wait to test this new Alfa Romeo Giulia with the 505 horsepower and 6-speed transmission manual. Now we have the super SUV category.
Okay.
What's your thought on that? As a truck guy.
Well, yeah, because
people that don't know this,
I've had
Brad's been driving trucks since before he was born.
No, I wasn't, though. That's the thing. I always had slam Mercedes and, you know, I've had Ferraris. But I started getting into the SUVs when SUVs started getting nice, when they weren't trucks anymore.
Yeah.
When you could actually, because...
And then you started a wheel company and you had to have
SUVs. You have to have them to haul crap around, yeah. You know? And so I've had, you know, the Yukons and I've had the Tahoes and
but those are more the utility.
They're more utilitarian, yes. Even though, like, my Yukon XL, you know, I ordered it with every available option. I mean, literally, I said, check every box, sunroof, sky, you know, I mean, everything, heated seats, you know, the whole deal. And it was, you know, they're starting to creep towards luxury, and, you know, I ordered the biggest motor to push that monster down the road. But
back then, that was like a big block. That was like a Chevy big
block. Oh, yeah, it's a 6.5 liter Vortec, yeah. So, you know, and then I've got the full-size Sierra with all the options and everything.
Yeah, the big pickup truck.
But when you move into the super premium performance SUV, there's, first of all, it can't be too large. It's got to be the right size, you know, because it has to be not too big, not too small. It's got to be just right.
Just right.
So, but I was not a big fan of it because I'm like, you know, if you're going to have a performance car, get a car, you know?
Right. Or if you're going to get an SUV, get something you're going to haul shit around.
Right. I've driven a Porsche Cayenne and it was like, it's okay, you know? I've driven a supercharged Range Rover, the long wheelbase, and I've driven the Sport, the squared up Sport, you know?
Yeah.
And I enjoyed them. They were comfortable. They were nice. But I wouldn't say they were something that you would push, you know? And so they deliver the, you know, the new one, the SVR. And I'm like, you know, okay, I'm ready to be pleased with a luxury vehicle, not pleased with a performance vehicle. And I got to say, well, very first thing, the guy dropped it off and he goes, oh my God, this thing is fast. And I go, really?
So to back up a second, so SVR is
Special Vehicle Operations.
Yeah. I don't know where the R comes, but the SV division of Jaguar has been out for just a handful of years now, if that, 2 years or something like that. And it's their version of BMW's M cars or Mercedes AMG cars. And so now they're going to start doing more. Like, we have the Jaguar F-Type SVR, which is a 200-plus mile-an-hour F-Type coupe, which is badass. And I think the first car to come from this SV group is the Range Rover Sport SVR, and then immediately came the F-Type SVR. So that's what we're talking about here. This is sort of the AMG of,
exactly,
of Jaguar.
It is the ultra high performance tuned suspension, all kinds of extras. I mean, the interior is incredible.
So it's a Range Rover Sport, which is like the midsize.
The midsize.
Like the one step below the big HSE or something.
Yeah.
And it's
above the Range Rover.
Like a Discovery.
The Discovery, thank you. Yes.
Yeah. So what are we talking about? Like 550
horsepower? 550
horsepower. V8.
It's a 5-liter V8 supercharged. It'll do 0 to 60. Get this, an SUV, 4.6 seconds.
Wow. I was going to guess 5.
I mean, that's putting it in the level of some passenger cars.
Oh, yeah.
It'll scream over a lot of passenger cars.
It weighs, I don't know, 5,000-something pounds.
And it still gets between an estimated 16 to 19 miles to the gallon.
Not the way you're driving.
No, I will say I was very impressed with the mileage because I took it down to where the light came on and said, man, you better find a gas station. And then it impressed me because it said, if you want to find the nearest gas station, press this and the computer will tell you your nearest gas station. I was like, oh, cool. You know, I didn't need it.
Was it some British girl that was on the radio? She was like, you should pull over here.
Would you like to?
Yeah.
Find the nearest petrol station.
Yeah, she's like, oh, and you're in California. Don't put that crap gas in my nice British gas tank, fuel tank.
But the
Petro tank.
So I took it down, and when I filled it back up, first thing comes up, says, you have a 375-mile range. I looked at the pump, and I said, I only put $52 worth of fuel in it. Now, depending on where you're listening to this, in California, that's not much. My Yukon XL takes $100 every time, and I just squeak out 300 miles, and the gas tank is much larger than this one. So this gets pretty damn good mileage, and you want to put your foot into it because it's fun. Mm-hmm. It's fun to drive.
So you drove it around. You hot dogged it around the neighborhood, but also you did like a trip. You went to San Diego or something. How
I took it down to Cabo and
sold it for parts.
Yeah. No, you know what's amazing about this
is
that
road trip car. What you load it up?
I took it down to San Diego for a business meeting, okay? And I said, okay, I've been cruising between the office and the house, and you know, come off those corkscrews and kind of push it a little bit. And it was nice and stiff. It didn't feel uncomfortable like it was going to push or pull or do anything. But once I got out on the road, just cruising down to San Diego, it was smooth. It was it was pleasant to drive, even with the racing-inspired seats, because it's got the big full bolsters. I mean, the seats look like they have the pockets for racing harnesses and everything in them. And they're two-tone seats. And really nicely stitched leather, and the heat. Now, when you talk about heated seats, the very first car I ever had in my life with heated seats, I was like, why would I need heated seats? I live in Southern California. Now we're reaching way back, okay? I buy a brand new 560 SEC Mercedes, and the first cool morning that I turned on those heated seats, I went, I'm never getting another car without heated seats.
Yeah.
Well, I just experienced that with this. I never knew I needed a heated steering wheel.
That's right.
Until I had this one. It's just warm enough. It kind of goes through your bones and warms you all up. It's nice.
Oh, wait. So I said the same thing about heated seats. And then they got the cooled seats, the little fans.
Yes, the fan seats.
Especially out here in California. We use that all the time. And then we got the cars with the massaging seats. And the last one I drove was the Bentley Bentayga.
Bentley SUV,
And that thing had like five different types of massage.
No, it actually has a guy that's in there massaging
your
back.
It's like a little Korean woman in there just going at it. And it had like five different types of massage with three different levels of intensity for each one. And I don't know why you ever turn it off. Now, technically...
Why you ever get out of the car?
Technically, it's not... I think they called it anti-fatigue feature.
But it would kind of relax you and put you to sleep.
But I'm telling you, it is an amazing feature. And it's funny because we keep building these, you know, like we like hot rods and muscle cars, and we keep thinking about building these things. And you always got it in the back of your head. You're like, oh, you know, I want to keep it kind of fairly lightweight. I don't need a big power seat and everything. And you're like, but there's just something about the massaging and heated and cooled seats like you really want it, you know?
Matt's looking at a Fox Body with Bottega seats, man.
That would be badass if I could get the Bentley seats in my Fox Body, but that car's so small you'd never fit those truck seats in there.
Exactly.
First of all, they're about a foot and a half off the ground so you can see out the window. So overall, you're thinking the Range Rover Sport. I talked to a guy at Jaguar Land Rover at an event a few weeks ago. And it just happened to come up. At the event, somebody had started that thing, and it sounded badass.
Dude.
And I was like, dude, you hear that thing? It sounds like an F-Type.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, the exhaust is badass, basically the same engine. And I don't know when they tested it, but he said it was the fastest SUV around the Nürburgring.
Yeah. See, and so how many vehicles can you get that you can put in four-wheel drive and take off-road and... go around the Nürburgring.
I don't know. I don't go off-road.
Well, neither do I, but you could if you wanted to.
If I wanted to.
I mean, if you needed to get your, you know, car that you found in the back roads of France that had been back there for years, and it's a barn find, and it's a, you know, a Delahaye, and you need to pull it out, you can do it. And you can, you know.
With your Range Rover.
And then take it to the Nürburgring and pull that Delahaye around the Nürburgring. I call it an on-ramp SUV because it's one of those where you kind of want to hit that shifter over into sport mode and jump on it going up the on-ramp because all of a sudden, man, it sounds like it's a like it's a damn sports car. It's like everybody's looking around, going, "Where's the guy in the Jaguar? Where's the guy?" You know, and it's and no, it's that, and you know, it is. It's a pleasant surprise to jump in it. We talked about the right size. It's big enough that you can put the seats down in the back, and you know, haul all your crap, you know, wherever you need to go. It's not, you know, like we talked about, a utilitarian truck as far as you could fit one set of wheels coming back from the factory, not 10 sets of wheels.
Okay,
you know?
So at the end of the day, do you buy it or is it a novelty? Do you like, you have fun with it, but then you buy the big Range Rover?
If you can afford the vehicle at has outfitted as I with the glass roof, retractable roof, and all the great options, $112,000. Okay? I would say if that's in your wheelhouse, I'd own it. I'd own it because it is one of those where if you're going to have an SUV and you got to haul something, why not haul it in style and go fast?
For me, it's kind of like if you're going to have, like, if you're like an LA person and you only have room for one car.
Mm-hmm.
Then I see get it.
Yeah, because it's fast,
but
it's stylish.
Everybody else in this town has like the Corvette or something and the Range Rover.
Right, right.
You know, the regular Range Rover, you know. But if you can only get one, I guess you get the best of both worlds.
Well, I mean,
you get the, you know, the sports car performance with the.
If you have some kind of hobby that says, hey, I got to haul stuff, if you own a business that says, hey, I got to haul some stuff once in a while, and you got to have an SUV or a, you know, because I'm not going to call it a truck because it's not. But why not get something that when you want to jump on it and it's a pleasure to drive, puts a smile on your face. And everybody who saw it was, whoa, look at that interior, because it has beautiful laminated carbon fiber interior.
Yeah.
It has nicely appointed seats. The carpet, everything about it was nice. And it sits right. It has 21-inch wheels on it, which is a big deal to me. And, you know, it was a really all-around very nice vehicle.
So you like it?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd buy one.
Your review is positive, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we've got some more stuff in store for some car reviews. I'm going to be taking a look at the Jaguar F-Pace.
Jaguar.
The Jaguar.
Jaguar, yeah, there you go.
F-Pace at the beginning of the year. Sort of the different direction. I think it's a gorgeous SUV, city SUV. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Definitely not the high-performance thing. I'm sure they will have a Jaguar F-Pace SVR at some point, but maybe we're going to get, like, the six-cylinder gas engine, or even the diesel would be kind of cool, because I'd love to try it out in a diesel format. So we're going to take a look at that next year. My guys at Fiat Chrysler of North America have promised us at some point we're going to take a look at the new Alfa Romeo Giulia.
Oh, really?
The super sedan, the four-door sedan. I'd love to try it with the six-speed manual because, like, what are the chances any other four-door sedan is going to come with a six-speed manual? That car is supposed to be the M5 fighter, so sort of the Italian M5, if you will. Or the, you know, E63 AMG or you know, your Audi RS6 or something like that, you know. But maybe at a little bit better price point. I mean, we'll take a look at that. I know the base engine, whatever the six-cylinder or the four-cylinder is, base engine is going to start at like 38, 39,000 and then Alfa Romeo. But then the fast version is going to start at like 70 or 71,000.
Yeah, to go fast, it always costs more.
Yeah, it does cost more. Yeah. So we've got that on the menu as well. We're going to take a look at a few other things. But you mentioned the guys. So the guys that were missing, Aaron is snowed in because
he lives up like in a cabin in Tahoe.
Like a maniac. He lives up there in the snow.
He's writing his manifesto right now.
And Pete is on vacation, but it's interesting because I saw him on a plane and I remembered that recently he was going, we got to get his story on this, but he was going to the Moon Eyes car show event in Japan.
Yokohama, right? Japan.
Which I think we've touched on it once before. That sounds cool as shit. And I've never done. We've done a moon. You and I have done
the Moon Eyes
a while ago. Moon
Eyes
show in Irwindale, cool event. But we know what sort of the hot rod community is here. you have gone to the Moon Eyes event in Japan some years ago back in the Boyd days, right?
Yeah, when Boyd and I were still business partners, we went over there for the very first and the very second Moon Eyes show. And we took Shizume one year, which was just a kick in the pants, man. I drove Shizume through Tokyo.
How do you get the car there?
Put it in a container, and they air freight it over. And
so they fly the car there.
Yeah.
And then they unload it.
They unload it.
You guys cruise the streets. And
when we got there, it was already delivered to Moon Eyes. And so they got a video crew, and they had us driving through. And what's so funny, you know, you think of Boyd Coddington being, you know, this great hot rod builder and stuff. He didn't like to drive that much. I mean, literally everywhere we went, I was always driving because he just wasn't. And even the hot rods, I mean, he'd drive them, but it wasn't like he got off on building them. And so... so he's like, you know, hey, man, you do all the driving over here. You know, I don't know the streets. I'm like, well, like I do, yeah. You know. But it was like, yeah, gladly.
Sure.
And so we followed this van around all over while some guy with a video camera stuck his head out the top and out the side. And you never can imagine because the people over there, they're so polite and they're so structured and everything. And we're driving through downtown Tokyo and they would just stop. Like, you know, like Godzilla was walking down the street, you know, it was like they were just like mouths open and a wide, you know, eyes big. And they, if we stopped, it was like you were the biggest rock star. They surrounded the car, wanted photos, and it was cool. It was really bitching.
What was the event like? Were you going to? You're doing like a parade or something and then going to an actual car show event or
no, what they did is they have the Moon Eyes show in a big, I think it's called Pacific Hall or something like that. And
like a convention center,
Yes. And the show is all these hot rods and mini trucks and you know, really nice vehicles, man. You wouldn't believe how nice the vehicles are.
Are they owned by people in
Japan?
Yeah,
in Japan, yeah.
So there's hot rods in Japan?
Oh, my God, dude. And they geek out over it. I mean, I'm talking about... yeah. And, like, Moon Eyes has numerous stores over there. And, like, one of them's a 50s cafe that he had everything flown over from L.A. And people come there and they get their slick back hair. Yeah. But it's all these, you know, individual cultures. You got the mini truck guys.
Yeah.
You have the hot rod guys.
Not today. You meant back then when you were working for Boyd. How many mini truck guys are there now?
No, I think there still is. You know, because once you get a car over there, you're invested. You're keeping
You keep it forever.
And then there's lowrider guys.
Yeah.
And then there's the motorcycle guys. So they all have their classes and they all... but then the show's going on and then it was like noon on Saturday and Boyd and I drove Shizume in. And... the first thing was Ed Roth was still alive and he was there. And so he came in, you know, but any other place, you know, you'd go and they would put up, you know, like all it was one little thin line rope and everyone stayed behind it and everyone was quiet. You could hear a pin drop and we come pulling in and everyone's, and then when the announcer said, well, let's hear it for him. Then all of a sudden it was like deafening. But till that it was quiet. There wasn't anybody, you know, talking or anything, just flash bulbs going off, pulled in. And it was just, it was nuts. You know, it was crazy. It was, the people were so enthusiastic and so cool, and it's just grown over the years. I think it was like the 15th or 20th anniversary this year,
yeah.
Something like that.
That's amazing. I love hearing about car culture in other parts of the world. You know, I think it's such a cool thing. Like, we have some fans that listen to these shows in Australia, New Zealand,
oh, yeah.
And some in Europe, and it's always great getting their aspect, their take on things and figure out what's the trend there and what's happening there. That's cool. And I really had no idea that Japan had a hot rod market. What I mean is like an American hot rod. Like, I'm sure the cars that they have there, they hot rod them out in their own way. I didn't know that they were even into some of the things
they are. And
like the mini trucks, I get there's a lot of Japanese mini trucks, or there were back in the day. But now, like, you know.
No, it's like Chevys and you know. Yeah. Well, in fact, two of my cars went that I've sold over the years, a Monte Carlo SS that I sold like clear back in 89. It was only a few years old, but I had slammed it, put it on Boyd wheels, and a Japanese guy came in and he, there's some kind of alarm going off. and he, shipped it over to Japan. So it's over there, and it's probably in the exact same condition. And the other was my Slam Mercedes. I had a little 300 CE, shaved door handles, billet grill, everything like that. And it was you know, shipped over to Yokohama City, and it's, yeah. You know, so they're into all different types. But the thing is that you have to remember, like in Japan, as Shiggy, who owns Moon Eyes, explained to me, he said, one of the reasons for that is because people realize housing is so expensive that they'll never, ever be able to own a house. They do mortgages. This is something I learned that blew me away, that are generational. So if your dad buys a house, yeah. He puts you and your brother on it because when he dies, you just assume the mortgage. And yeah. And so
that's not bad if you're first.
Yeah,
if
exactly.
You're first in line.
Well, I don't like this house, Dad.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But
your grandkids are going to love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and they don't ever live by themselves. So they buy these extravagant cars because that is their individual space, and they're very expensive over there to maintain, to purchase, to get the parts for,
yeah.
You know, everything.
That guy that bought your Monte Carlo in 89, is he still making payments to you?
Yeah, he's still making payments.
Oh, that's so perfect. All right. Well, listen, I know we're kind of running out of time.
Yeah.
We're running out of days in the year.
I know.
We'll wrap it up. So,
we'll be a year older when we come back, right?
I don't know if that's
is that how it works.
We're definitely going to be older.
Yeah,
I know that part. Well, awesome. Well, thank you. I want to say the Happy New Year to everybody that's been listening, and we appreciate everybody tuning in to Shift and Steer and helping us grow the show and bring it out there for free. We appreciate your support. We'd love to get you guys to jump on iTunes and give us a nice rating.
That'd be a great holiday gift, wouldn't it? If they would,
yeah.
If everyone listening gave us a 5-star rating and subscribed to the show on iTunes.
Yeah, you know, the show's got to grow. So if you like it, tell a friend, share it on Facebook or something, and then we can continue to bring it for free. Okay, there we go. So from Pete and Aaron and myself and Brad, we want to say thank you guys, and we're going to continue to do this and hopefully get out to more events.
Have a great holiday, everybody, and you can send Matt and I gifts, direct to the studio here.
Check us out at shiftandsteer.com and, of course, on iTunes and all of our social media at Shift Steer Media. And you can listen to the show on the Podcast One mobile app. It should be on Android and iOS. So if you want it on your mobile device and you haven't done that, you can tune in and do that. So, guys, thank you so much. What are we going to do? We're going to run some reruns or something, some best of shows.
Yeah, we'll
like
run some reruns and stuff and have some fun with it over the holidays. But you won't go without Shift and Steer. There might be some reruns, but I bet you haven't heard of them. So go back, listen to all the old shows. Thanks, everybody.
Happy
See you
New
next year.
Year.